Book of Romans, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. And I want to preach a message this morning that God has given to me. This week I struggled whether this message that I'm going to preach this morning was one message or two. And it seems like the Lord, as the week went on, laid it heavier and heavier upon my heart to preach a message this morning and then a follow-up message to it this afternoon. And so y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to be obedient to the Lord and give you what God has given to me. And I covet your prayers this morning. God knows my heart. I need your prayers. And so I wish you would remember me as I preach. And remember me this afternoon as we preach this afternoon as well. If you're in Romans chapter 1 and you'd like to stand with me, I invite you to do that at this time. And I want to read verse number 18 down through the rest of the chapter. And then try to give you the thoughts that the Lord has given us for today. Romans chapter 1, and verse number 18. Paul said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His spiritual power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, which out without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God and them which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Lord, we love you this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. God, we're thankful for the opportunity to feel your presence this morning. Holy Ghost, I pray for your touch now. God, you know the message that you've given me today. God, you know how that we've prayed. God, ask that you would bless it. God, help us not to preach this morning in anger. God, help us not to preach this morning in the flesh. God, help us to preach exactly, God, what you would have us to say. Keep our silence, God, where you'd help us to keep silent. God, I am burdened and I'm concerned about our nation and our world and our churches. And oh God, if you don't help us, and oh God, if we don't turn back to you, we're in a mess. God, we need you today more than we've ever needed you before. And I pray, God, that you would help us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The first chapter of Romans is probably one of the most amazing and complex chapters in the entire Word of God. In this one chapter alone, we see the greetings of Paul, the declaration of the gospel, Paul's missionary motive. We see the corruptness of mankind and the necessity of the gospel. This chapter makes one of the greatest statements of faith and salvation in all the Word of God. And at the same time, it makes one of the greatest statements of sin and rebellion in the entire Word of God. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul addresses not only the believers in Rome, but the entire Roman Empire as well. In this day, Rome was the center of the world. In this day, Rome, in its greatness, was the center of education. It was the center of learning and culture. It was the center of entertainment, sporting events, and the political world of its day. You have heard the saying that all roads lead to Rome. And that is because the world converged together and met in this one place called Rome. The same, I believe, this morning could be said for America. At one time, America, and maybe still today, is the center of the world. In fact, as I read this chapter this week, I could not help but think about the nation that you and I are living in. We have been considered by many to be the center of the world's education, the center of learning and culture and entertainment. We are the center of sporting events, political events, and even the center of religion. It could be said today in 2016 that all roads lead to America. But as I read chapter 1 of the book of Romans, I see something that scares me. While Rome at one time was the center of the world, that cannot be said for them today. Amen. Today, Rome is a relic of history. Rome is something that we talk about in high school history class. The greatness of Rome that at one time was no longer exists today. I'm sure that history would like to tell you why Rome failed. They'll tell you that Rome failed due to military failures. They'll say that Rome failed because of crippling taxation. They failed because of natural disasters, and some even say they failed because of climate change. I believe, however, that the chapter that we're reading this morning, Romans chapter 1, tells us the reason that this great nation failed. They failed because of their moral decay. In chapter 1, we see that the morals of the nation grew more and more wicked. And as the morals of the nation grew more and more wicked, the nation began to crumble in all around them. On September the 16th, 1620, a group of men and women who called themselves or were known as separatists, we call them pilgrims, they were known as separatists, a group of separatists boarded a ship called the Mayflower, and they left England and sailed to America so that they could escape religious persecution and have religious freedom. They wanted the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. These men and women hazarded their lives for their faith. Once in America, they took the Word of God and they established what I believe is the greatest nation the world has ever known. The principles of the Bible directed their lives, and it directed their governments, and it directed their politics, and it directed their very nation. I believe that these scriptures founded the principles that made America so great. I believe that America is great not because of our institutes of higher learning. We are not great because of our culture, our world-renowned entertainment. We are not great because of our spiritual backbone, but we are great because the God that we serve is a great God. In case you missed what I just said, let me repeat myself. America is great because God is great. Amen. But unfortunately, America has gone the way of the Romans. That's right. Our nation is crumbling in all around us. We blame our failures on military failures. We blame the problems of today on crippling taxation, on natural disasters, on climate change. The reality is that we are crumbling in because our morals have crumbled in. The standards and the principles of the Bible that founded this nation have long since been rejected. We live in an America today that no longer needs God in our courtroom, in our capital, or in our classroom. What once was considered wrong is tolerated today, and it is even celebrated. The God that we left England to serve is now something that we make light of. And I say this morning that if America does not return to God, it will not be much longer before America is nothing but a figment of the past, a relic of yesterday, something they talk about in history class. That the greatness of America will be nothing more than something that is a far off memory if somebody doesn't get back to God. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I don't believe that America could fall so great. I would imagine that if you was to walk up to the average Roman citizen and tell them that their great empire would one day fall, they would laugh at you. But look at where they are today. They are nothings. They are relics of history. And I submit to you that if somebody somewhere doesn't get back to God in this nation, we will go the way of the Romans. And we will be nothing more than a figment of the past, a relic of the past. We must have God again in our nation. Amen. Can I say we must have a return to God? We must have a renewing of old-fashioned Christianity. We must have revival. This morning I want us to look at chapter number 1 and see the decline of this great nation, Rome. I want us to see how that Paul warns these people and apply it to our lives today. I want to preach this morning and tonight on the fall of a nation. The fall of a nation. This morning I want to preach on the fall, the hurt of a nation. The hurt of a nation. I want you to see three things. I'll give them to you just as fast as I can. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see the degradation of their society. The degradation of their society. Beginning in verse number 18, the Apostle Paul begins to explain the downward spiral of humanity. What is being said by Paul in these verses was true of Rome, but it is also true of all of humanity. All of humanity is hopelessly lost without Jesus Christ. The sins of Rome would result in the wrath of God. And I've got bad news. The sins of America will also and is resulting in the wrath of God. The interesting thing is that these people, as we read this chapter, did not begin in depravity and a backslidden condition. The way that Paul describes these people is like they gradually and slowly over time move further and further away from God. Over the course of time, they began to leave the God that they had one time served. The degradation of humanity does not happen overnight. It is a slow fade. By allowing things to slip here and allowing things to slip there, we gradually move further and further away from God. I've said this before, and it's worth repeating again this morning. You do not just wake up one morning and get out of church and out of the will of God. But it is one decision made after the other. Something comes up in your life and you let it slip. You think that's just a little thing. That thing won't hurt me too bad if I do that one thing. But by doing that one thing, it becomes easier to do the next thing. And by doing that, it becomes easier to do the next. And before you realize it, you are further away from God than you ever dreamed you would be in your life. One day you wake up and you can't even remember when the last time you fellowshiped with God was. You can't remember the last time God was real in your life. You didn't do it overnight. It was a slow fade. But little by little, one decision after the other, you begin to let things slide and things move, grow a distance from God. and now you are where you are today. Hey, I'm telling you, the same is true with a nation that is true with individuals. America is not where America is today because of one bad decision. America is where we are today because we let something slip here and we let something slip there. And one thing we said won't be too bad, but before you know it, those things compounded upon themselves. And now we are living in an America that celebrates sin and celebrates immorality. We live in an America where they cheer if you're away from God and you're living in moral decay. And they will applaud you and look down on you if you try to serve God. Hey, it didn't happen overnight. It happened because we let little things go and little things slide. And now we're living in an America that doesn't even know God almost. Amen. The problem is that when you let one thing slide, it becomes easier for something else to slide. Lord, this is a no jacket message this morning. Y'all pray for me. I want you to notice the way Paul describes the degradation of these people. Notice, first of all, letter A, they despised creation. Notice how things begin to slip in their lives. Letter A, they despised creation in verse number 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Can I say that from the beginning of God, the creation of God has revealed Himself to mankind. In fact, one of God's greatest revelations of Himself is the very act of creation. Psalms chapter number 8 verse 3 says, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." Psalms 19 verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Creation is such a lot to mankind that it leaves the entire world without excuse, according to verse number 20. The revelation of God through creation is clearly seen. I do not understand. Maybe you'll have to help me with this, but I cannot understand how a man or a woman can look into the stars at night, look into the sky at night and see the stars and the universe and say within themselves that there is no God. That is a clear revelation of God to all of humanity. Creation is clearly seen. It is clearly the revelation of God. But may I say to you that the first step of a society moving away from God is when God is no longer seen in the very act of creation. Hey, today instead of looking into the stars and seeing God, we look into the stars and try to explain away God. Science will tell you that God doesn't exist. They'll try to teach your children in school that a tadpole become a monkey and a monkey become a man. God help us in America. God help us when we move far away from God that we would teach that kind of stuff. They'll tell you that a molecule, one atom collided with another atom and a big bang took place and all of this came into existence. Hey, we live in a day and hour, and well, they'll tell you about Charles Darwin, but they won't tell you about a God that's big enough to stand in the middle of nothing and speak and create everything. Hey, I tell you, it's more nonsense to believe that bunch of garbage about a tadpole becoming a man. That's ridiculous. You'd have to be a fool to believe something like that. Hey, I'm telling you, God created this universe. And a society that says there is no God, there is no creator, is a society that's moving away from God. Hey, I'm telling you, they despise creation. Even our high schools today, they'll teach the theory of evolution, but creation is not spoken of. They'll talk about one thing, but they refuse to talk about another. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, we're living in a dark society when we can't even see God in creation anymore. Hey, look at this. Not only did they despise creation, but notice this, letter B, they departed from their creator. They departed from their creator. Look at verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping thing. Wherefore God hath gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we no longer see God in creation, it will not be long before we stop seeing God altogether. Paul describes these people as refusing to retain God in their knowledge. If you study history, you'll discover something very interesting. Even the most savage people today at one time retained God in their knowledge. But in their refusal to acknowledge God, their light grew dimmer and dimmer. And as the light of God grew dimmer and dimmer, sin and rebellion grew stronger and stronger. When men and women refuse to give God his proper place in their life, they are then going down the wrong path. The failure to glorify God in your heart and your mind takes you down a path of danger. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you right now, this self-dependent generation that we're living in today is heading in the wrong direction. You know, when our parents and grandparents went through things like the Great Depression, they had no choice but to rely on God during those days. Things were tough. Things were hard. They had to trust in God. But we've got it easy in Zion today, friend. We've got it so easy that we've become self-reliant, self-dependent. And we now say, I don't need God. We're like Pharaoh in the days of Egypt, who said to Moses, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Amen. Hey, we've even got to the place in our churches where we're operating without the power of God. Yes. It should be no surprise. Revelation chapter 3, when John wrote to that Laodicean church, he said it would be that way. He said they would operate and function without the very presence of God. But I want you to notice the step-by-step path of sin that these people were led down. When you refuse to rely on God, it begins with an unthankful lifestyle. One of the greatest dangers in your life is when you start becoming unthankful to God. Amen. Do you realize that everything you have today, you owe that to God? Everything you have. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. Everything you have comes from God. And when you cease to be thankful for your blessings, you better pay attention to what's going on in your life, because you have moved away from God. Hey, they begin by a little thing that seems so small, doesn't it? Just the fact that they are unthankful. But their unthankful lifestyle doesn't stop there. Paul said it leads them to have vain minds and dark hearts. A vain mind in a dark heart is seen when a man or a woman no longer thinks that they need the Lord. The person who has become vain believes that they are wise, but the Bible says they have become fools. It's a foolish generation that doesn't realize they need God. In 1962, a case was heard in court called Engle versus Vital. In this court hearing, it was declared that it was henceforth, from that day forward, unlawful to recite prayers in public schools. In 1963, the Arlington School District versus Shemp declared that it was unlawful to have corporate Bible reading in public schools. In 1992, Lee versus Weissel, and in 2000, the Santa Fe Independent School District versus Doe made it illegal to have prayer during graduation ceremonies and during sporting events. I'm saying that a generation that says we no longer need God is a generation that is moving in the wrong direction. Hey, I'm saying we are where we are today, not because of one bad decision, but because of many. We said we don't need our kids to pray, and we don't need our kids to read the Bible. We don't need to pray in school. Hey, you know why? Because we didn't need to pray in home either. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we're moving further and further away from the very principles that our nation was established on. Hey, we're moving away from God. Today we analyze creation. We analyze the scriptures. We even analyze God. We've become like the men of Athens who, when Paul preached to them in the book of Acts, they laughed at him. And we're laughing at God today. We believe ourselves to be so wise that Paul said that we will eventually, and I believe we have got to this point, we begin to worship ourselves instead of worshiping God. We live in a day when we've become a god to ourselves. In fact, one of the oldest lies the devil has ever told is that if you turn your back on God, you'll become like a god. You remember what he told Eve in the Garden of Eden? Way back in creation's beginning. He said, why aren't you eating that fruit? And Eve said, well, God said, in the day we eat that fruit, we'll die. And what did the serpent say? He said, you won't surely die. He said, God knows that in the day you eat that fruit, you'll become like unto gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. And you know where we're at today? We're living in a society where people are worshiping themselves. Millions of dollars are spent every year on magazines that talk about looks and fashion. Amen. Our heroes of today are people that we look at that are, we think they're good athletes. We think they are talented in some way. We think that they're good looking. So they are our heroes because we're a self-worshiping generation. Amen. You look right up in here. When our children can tell you the stats of their favorite baseball player, but they can't quote you any verses of Scripture, we're living in a problem society. Yes. Our daughters can name you every one of the Kardashians, but they can't quote any Scriptures to you. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because we're in a self-worshipping generation. Hey, I'm telling you, Paul said they would be guilty of worshiping the creature more than they worship the Creator. And this is seen in the day and hour in which you and I are living in. Watch this. He said, when they worship the creature more than the Creator, he said, they'll turn their gods into birds and four-footed things, creeping things. I'll tell you where we're at today. We won't cut down a tree because we don't want to endanger the spotted owl. But every day thousands of babies get murdered.
Yes.
And nobody thinks a thing about it.
That's right.
In June of 1969, a young woman named Norma McCorvey became pregnant with her third baby. After she became pregnant, she returned home to Texas, where her family members encouraged her to lie and say that she was raped so she could abort her baby. In 1969, you could only abort your baby if you had been raped. But there was no evidence because it was made up, it was a lie. So she could not obtain an abortion that way. So she went to an illegal abortion clinic to try to get an abortion. But she found out when she got there that abortion clinic had been shut down. So finally, Miss McCorvey goes and she hires two lawyers. and she takes these two lawyers in 1970 and files suit against the Northern District of Texas on her behalf, saying that she should have the right to obtain an abortion if she wanted to. On January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court of America ruled in favor of a woman's right to privacy in a court case you've probably all heard of that started with Norma McCorvey in 1969. She had her baby before the ruling was ever passed. And the Supreme Court of America in Roe versus Wade said that it is a woman's right to privacy to have an abortion for any means she chooses necessary. Listen to this. Judge Blackmun, who was one of the judges that ruled over this case, Roe versus Wade, Harry Blackmun, who is considered to be one of the most liberal justices in American history, Judge Harry Blackmun said that abortion was resorted to without scruple in Greek and Roman times. And he used that as one of his evidences why it would be okay for a woman to obtain an abortion. Can I say that Mr. Blackmun was right? They did obtain abortions anytime they saw fit to. And look where they're at today. And look where we are at today. We today are killing this generation. We are killing our unborn children. These people are doing this wickedness and sin in the eyes of God. God, help a generation like this. Amen. We've turned our backs on God. Watch me now. They despised creation. They departed from the Creator. But look at this, letter C. They destroyed their conscience. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Man eventually gets to the point that God turns them over to the greatest form of depravity. Homosexuality is far as a man or a woman can get away from God. Amen. When we get to the point in our lives, in our society, that we accept homosexuality, we've gone as far from God as we can get. There were two cities in the Old Testament that were turned over to homosexuality, and God brought judgment on them. They were named Sodom and Gomorrah, if you've never heard of them. In like fashion, Rome grew to the place where homosexuality was tolerated. In Rome, a freeborn man was not considered to lose his masculinity for him to have relations with a male slave or a male entertainer. In fact, it was considered the pleasure of the elite in their day. God judged Sodom, and God judged Gomorrah, and God judged Rome. Amen. Why would we ever think that God won't judge America for the same thing? This sign is a sign of hardness of heart. I tell you, the problem with America is we've grown used to the dark. Little by little, darkness has come in all around us. Instead of hiding in the closet, today we flaunt our sin before the face of God. We march up and down the streets of our cities and wave banners and wave flags. We're proud of our sin. I was driving down the interstate a couple weeks ago right here in good old Knoxville, Tennessee. And there was a car, just a few cars in front of me driving down Kingston Pike. And while I was going down Kingston Pike, a young man leans out of the passenger side of the car, sits on the window of the door, and takes a rainbow-colored flag and starts waving it out the car as it drives down the street. God help America.
Amen.
Why wouldn't he do that? On June the 27th, 2015, our president instructed them to turn lights on the White House that made the White House look like rainbow colors, as the Supreme Court of America said that it was now completely legal for same-sex marriages to be taking place in our country. Why do you think we're dealing with things like broken homes, AIDS, STDs, acts of terror, our children being murdered in school, natural disasters? We've turned our back on God.
Amen.
We're paying the price for it. I've got to show you two more things and get out of here. I want you to see not only the degradation of their society, but I want you to see the description of their society. In the last few verses of chapter 1, Paul begins to list 24 sins that these people were guilty of in their backslidden condition. One would think that the departure of God from these people would have caused them to have a desire to draw closer to the Lord, but the very opposite is true. Instead of returning to God, these people grow so dark in their minds that sins no longer bother them. Notice their problems in verse 28 through verse 31. There's no way that I could preach all of these things, but I can tell you that if you take verse 28 through verse 21 and you sit down with the world newspaper this week, I challenge you to do this. Look at any world newspaper and just scan the headlines, and I bet you can find every one of these things.
Yes. Amen.
It's a dark-minded generation who has no problem with fornication. Paul lists that out in verse number 29. They think it's my body. I can do with it what I please. No, you're away from God. Murder will be common among these people. In their minds, they have become so dark and so hard that it doesn't bother them to walk into a movie theater or into a public school or into a public place and for no reason just begin to murder innocent people. That's a dark-minded generation. When a man or a woman has no value of something, their word doesn't mean anything anymore. That's a dark-minded generation. Hey, a dark generation will be a generation where the courtroom dockets are overflowing because men and women simply cannot keep their word to each other.
Amen.
Yes. Hey, watch this. Gossip will be prevalent in a dark-minded generation. They won't see anything wrong with calling somebody else on the phone and spreading the latest gossip about what's going on down at the house of God.
Amen.
They won't pray for the preacher, but they'll talk about him on the telephone.
Amen.
Look at you right here. When our children are no longer obedient to their parents, we're living in a dark-minded generation.
Amen.
You young people, look up here at me. The Word of God says the sin of disobedience to your parents, He lists that in with things like murder,
yes,
and fornication, homosexuality. You listening to me? When mom and dad tell you to do something and you choose not to do it, that is rebellion in your heart against God. And if you can't get along with mom and dad, you're not right with God.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying to you? John asked the question. He said, how can a man say that he loves God who he's not seen? and not love his brother who he has seen?
Amen.
How can you say you're obedient to God and be disobedient to your parents? It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
I see their problem, but I see their pleasure in verse 32. Sin and wickedness is terrible. But there's something even worse than sin and wickedness, and that is when sin and wickedness is applauded and encouraged. How far has a nation gotten when the people, instead of glorifying God, glorify sin? Let me show you this, and I'm done for this morning. I want you to see the danger of this society. All of humanity is hopelessly lost without the Lord. The sins of Rome would result in the wrath of God. I believe the sins of America are resulting in the wrath of God.
Yes.
God hates sin. If a man doesn't accept Christ, then he must in turn face the wrath of God for his sins. And if a nation doesn't accept God, they must in turn receive the wrath of God for their sins. We somehow got the idea at some point that the God of the Old Testament was a God of judgment. The God of the New Testament is the God of love. But I say the God of the Old Testament is still God today.
Amen.
And the God of the New Testament was the God of yesterday. God is always loved.
Yes.
But God has always brought judgment on wickedness.
Amen.
Watch this. Verse 18. Wrath of God will be poured out today. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice the way God is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness are sins that we commit against God. Unrighteousness, on the other hand, are sins that we commit against our fellow man. God's wrath will be revealed in both of these. I'll be honest with you, I'm worried about our world. It seems like as every day goes by, I get more and more concerned about the world that we're living in. I've not preached like I have today because I'm mad or because I've got a chip on my shoulder. I've preached because I'm worried about our country.
Amen.
I see the fall of America. If we don't turn back to God.
Amen.
This is an election year. When an election year comes, we always have this hope that the next president can turn things around. But the truth is that it doesn't matter who's elected president in a few months. If God's people don't return to God, things will never turn around. God's wrath is revealed today, but God's wrath will be paid for tomorrow. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but after their hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. There's a payday someday. There's a payday someday. Sin will be paid for. I think we're paying for it today, but if we don't turn back to God, we'll pay for it tomorrow.
Amen.
I preached this morning on the hurt of a nation. Tonight I'm going to preach on the hope of a nation. I'm going to take this same chapter and preach on the hope of a nation. But let me tell you this. Our only hope is to repent and turn back to God.
Amen.
You remember when Jonah went into Nineveh? Jonah marched into Nineveh with a very short message. Jonah said, yet 40 days and judgment's coming. 40 days and Nineveh will fall. Sin and rebellion had caused them to come to the place where God said, I'm going to destroy all of them. But from the king on his throne to the pauper on the street, the people of Nineveh put on sackcloth and ashes and began to mourn and turn to God and plead to God. And God withheld his judgment from the city of Nineveh.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the only hope for America is that we return back to God. And as I'll show you tonight, it's not going to begin in the White House. It'll begin in your house.
Amen.
It's time we stop playing around on God. Stop playing church. Turn back to God.
Amen.
I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anybody that needs to pray. Let me begin with this morning. Is there something in your life